I would be her. But no, I sip apart and spray her with rays. I see she has sprayed her with me. Memory of nothing real, memory of imagined things, now real, now I see, I remember it, it is like this is the same, I remembered this, I did that, I was this remembering in me, but outside I imagine this, seeing it, outside, inside, I felt this, I see, I felt, I see it now. Spoken, symbol stolen, not mine, not mine, 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 mine. In turbid liquid, the seeds sail, cut from under the fence, covers it partly, floods into the room in cracks in the sidewalk. Something settles into an adjacent field, dandelions and their leaves, a blanket of snow, a voice too. She finds missing coins. In the valley, the cows let out, wander. Are separated, the blooms discarded, protects the roots of trees, is heard in last year's pocket. Parting ways, a rising up of waves, hurling rage through the old screen door. Two fiddles play, all wrapped up in wool. Walking in opposite directions that fall across the sand, the layers of the social slams shut. A lilting tune is the handle of the knife, till the others grown small, so white and fine, are imaginary lines, and stays there, is what he remembers, is carved out of bone, is what they named it, with room to move in or lie down, strung up like wires, so the notes run together, emit the faintest sound, then fade to silence. After hours of careful thought and a corner to sleep in, or a string of lights, rub against each other, a pebble in a jar held in by the lid, and a few conversations, the blankets piled high, winking in the night in the trees, cacophonously, or a butterfly peering out through the glass. And left there idly for days, wrapped up tightly, watching the hands turn and lose all color, become light. From where they are swept, and now the space is clean. Still, bound with cord, in circles, the color of dust, as if they had not been, as if they could not be replaced. And then began to stir, then knotted at the back, around the face of the clock is no color at all, of value or present in a simple way. Petals fall with whiteness, bending, snapping back as the wind falls. Size and depth, a package can't be shaken, returns. They pockmark the ground as often as something falls from it, are measured, but listened to closer, square one. Covering over the gray, still filters, and is ignored by and large, with silver rulers, for the rustling paper mars. Where the air is thinner, flies ahead, its perfect arc, though it isn't, the surface polished all around. Among the clouds, spermatozoa whipping, mathematical, a ghost made to shine as if it meant something. And the jet trails, their way toward the ovum, and speeding up, or a memory, brilliantly, around it growing old.
Hey, yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you listening to C. Hey, yo, check 1-2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, and you listening to K. Yo, check 1-2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, and you listening to CKUT, and the place to be, and the box of T.O.P.
This poem is called For Those Waiting Wandless for Letters from Hogwarts, or Magic. We climb mountains and stand like a stitch on the seam between night and day. hold still and hold strong to the moon, and we can keep the sun at bay. And some nights we do drugs, and some nights the night is drugs, and our bikes are drugs, and our songs tug our voices to new heights above the tops of our lungs. And we hop the fence when the lantern still hung, in the garden where the flaming sword is a cashier lording over the entrance, beyond which the lights are kept lit all night, for no better reason than a trespasser's delight. So we stole our way in, and we had our breath stolen. And a quiet like that will leave your heart swollen from soaking up secrets and whispers and winks and the things we all miss every time that we blink. You can drink these things from the night, and I can show you how. Because if you can allow yourself to taste the wine and the water, then you needn't bother with a savior or any magic words. Because magic is not words that, when spoken, cause your will to be done. Magic runs through the veins of the galaxy, and in getting to know her anatomy, I mean listening to music with your eyes closed, sucking the melody in through your nose, and eating a song like a meal, because our senses feel when we let them, but we mostly neglect them. And I am no better, just lucky to ever have stumbled upon a drop, a puddle, a trickle, a stream of those warm day shivers and waking dreams that I'm still learning how to navigate. But I've had too many tastes to just sit here and wait. I will chase this. It is people and things, and it is places, it's times, it is spaces, it's a hot molten bagel at ungodly hours. This city is ours. This city is ours. It's all of the dumpster delights we devoured. This city. It's eating the kale that they plant with the flowers. This city is ours. This city is ours. I'm rooftop hopping to find it. The beast knows I'm behind it and leaves trails of tail feathers that I'm getting better and better at finding. They've been hiding in secret corners of my lungs, and words run over and over on my tongue that take on new shapes. They hide in back alleys and fire escapes and take me by surprise, like the rainbow halo cast on asphalt by my bicycle helmet. I struck gold, but I won't sell it. It's a story, and so I'll tell it. This is how I learned magic. I learned to chase but never to catch it, to let it flutter down and perch beside you, and watch it flutter away the moment you try to inch closer. This ghost or holy spirit shows itself to those who fear it. So we must stalk and sneak with the kind of sneaking that makes us fear our own hearts beating and leaves us deafened by the sound of our own breathing. But we must chase with the kind of pace that leaves us stunned at our own grace and that our feet can keep up with our ambition, weaving in and out and through obstacles and opposition, inhibition of any instinct that slows us down until all we are is feet pounding the ground. The one thing I cannot tell you about magic is where you have to look, because as foolishly as we try, ourselves cannot be read like books. You are full of rocks that must be turned over, clover whose leaves must be counted, and things that when mathematically amounted amount to nothings, but are still tangibly somethings. And though we are all always ready, with headlamps and hands steady, to descend into the deep caverns of ourselves, we dwell too long in caves, just learning how our hearts behave. So let's not be hypnotized by our insides. Let's go outside and stand like an antenna on tiptoe, like a radio, flitting through frequencies like the hummingbirds and the busy bees, tasting little bits of air and resonating here and there. I saw myself change and thought it for the better, and so tethered myself to a line that climbed infinitely high and closer to an asymptotal, unattainable, dotted line self. I was content to follow that curve until a swerve sidetracked me and in the face slapped me. I awoke. A broken mirror, clear though shattered, scattered in the broken pieces, I found 1,000 different reflections of myself. I had begun cutting my own hair, and there I was, at once a sculptor and a sculpture, caught in a culture of artists whose art is their own image, in which they'll never fit. We sit in awkward poses at awkward parties on display and pray that no one sees that each piece in this gallery is a shallow, cheap imitation of ourselves and everybody else. And now I want to keep carving away until there's nothing left. I'll do my best, but I am not made of stone, and somewhere deep in my bones there are cells like seeds, because my body needs to replace the layers I keep shedding and forgetting, and the parts of me that die are reborn, formed from this chemical soup swirling inside me. You may find we take similar shapes each day, but how can the sum be the same when the numbers have changed? I can repeat metaphors like mantras, watch as each obliterates the next, hexes, curses, swears, prayers, muttered like a magic spell, I tell them to my face in the mirror, but a clearer image never appears. I hear the strange accumulation of accents on my voice like scars on a body, not even recognizing the back of my own hand. And I can't stand the way I orbit around myself. because there is a soul behind your eyes. S-O-L-E, because when I see it, my whole self drops like an elevator, and my mind's blown like a fucking crater. It's like running full speed into a brick wall, if running full speed into a brick wall were the best thing you could possibly imagine. I'm catching little breaths of understanding as you're handing me little pieces of myself. The bits of me I see in you prove to me that I exist, and the only parts of myself I will ever see are bits of debris. The parts of myself that are found in others.
He wanted to be in nature. Clean. So he poured the detergent down the drain and saluted the sun on the back porch. A simple, quiet life. As long as the ants didn't eat the mangoes he bought at the Scarsdale Farmer's Market. Things always seem clearer in retrospect. In grade 2, my best friends were Carly and Jordan. In retrospect, they should not have been my friends at all. They lived in the big yellow house at the end of our cul-de-sac road, which was called Delusions Trail. It wasn't actually called that, but in retrospect, it should have been. In the woods behind my house, Carly and Jordan and I used to play tag, make teepees, and argue about what, in retrospect, I would call postmodern perceptions of the supernatural. But back then, it was just called whether or not fairies existed. All day long, they would brag about how they went to fairyland. They made me so jealous, for a while at least. They would talk about the friends they made there and the good times they had, floating from flower to flower, in the beautiful, colorful fantasy forest, which made my backyard a hollowed-out, deciduous outcrop with flat yellow grass and scattered plastic toys, seem like a junkyard. They held it over my head that I hadn't been there. "You learn so much in fairyland," they said. For instance, that gravity is socially constructed. But pretty soon I stopped believing them, and I told them good, that they were filthy fairy liars. If fairies are always flying, then where do they pee? Huh? Huh? "Fine," Carly said. "You can come with us to the fairyland, but just once, so you'll believe us." In that moment, all my doubts about their stories faded. I was so excited to finally get to go. "You just have to do one thing before you can go with us to the fairyland tonight at bedtime," Carly said. "What's that?" I asked. Out from her knapsack, she pulled a bottle of Flintstones vitamins. Then she tried to open it, but there was a childproof top. Frustrated, she knocked the bottle against the swing set until it shattered. She picked up 5 vitamins from the ground, each a different color, and handed them to me. "You have to eat these. All of these." "But those contain enough iron to kill a small child," I said. "That's bullshit," she said. Not really, but something like it. "Oh, okay," I said. So I went home with the vitamins and waited anxiously until bedtime, which was basically the same time as sundown, which, in retrospect, would have been a more dramatic word for Carly to use. I took the vitamins. I closed my eyes tightly and waited for something. Either death or fairies. Neither came. I lost concentration in less than 5 minutes and fell asleep. The next morning, I was irate. "Fuck you, Carly and Jordan," I said, but not really. Then I put on my leotard and my tutu and wire fairy wings and marched out the door, down the street, in the middle of the street, which, in retrospect, was probably not very smart. When I got to Carly and Jordan's house, I banged furiously on their door. I was met by Carly and Jordan's mom, who, in retrospect, was fucking hot. "Hello, little Zoe. You seem flustered. What's up?" I explained the whole story to her, and got so worked up that I started to cry. "Fairyland," she sighed, "is a place we go in our minds." "So what you're saying is that they're bullshitting me," I said. "Yes, little Zoe? Well, something like that. My head sunk to my chest. I peeled off my wire fairy wings and walked back to down Delusion's trail. In retrospect, I should have just told them that dinosaurs still exist, too.
Okay, up next, we're going to switch gears a little bit and hear a track by the great dub poet Linton Kwesi Johnson, a British-based poet and political radical, joined the British Black Panther movement when he was studying in London, England. In an interview with UK's Socialist Review in 2002, Linton Kwesi Johnson said, "For me, writing poetry was a political act. It was a way of articulating the anger and the hurt of my generation growing up as black youth in racially hostile environment. I didn't believe that at the time a black poet could have the luxury of art for art's sake. It had to be done in the service of the struggle," he told the Socialist Review. again, if you don't want to hear swearing, turn down your radio for a few minutes. Starting now, this piece is called England is a Bitch.
When me just come to London town, me used to work pon the underground. But working pon the underground, you don't get fi know your way around. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch. There's no running away from it. Me get a little job in a big hotel, and after a while me was doing quite well. Them start me off as a dishwasher, but when me take a stock, me no turn clock watcher. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch. Nobody try to hide from it. When them give you the little wage packet, first them rob it with them big tax racket. You have to struggle to make ends meet. And when you go to your bed, you just can't sleep. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch for true. I no lie me, I tell a true. Me used to work dig ditch when it cold, no bitch. Me did strong like a mule, but boy, me did fool. Then after a while, me just stop the overtime. Then after a while, me just put on me tool. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch. You have to know how to survive in it. Well, me do day work and me do night work. Me do clean work and me do dirty work. Them say that black man is very lazy. But if you see how me work, you would have said me crazy. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch. You better face up to it. Them have a little factory up in a Brackley. In a this year factory, all them do is pack crockery. For the last 15 years, them get me labor. Now after 15 years, me fall out of favor. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch. There's no running away from it. Me know say them have work. Work in abundant, yet still, they make me redundant. Now at 55, me getting quite old, yet still, them send me figure draw a dole. England is a bitch. There's no escaping it. England is a bitch for true. Is where we are going to do about it.
In our society, most of us are severely miseducated. Socially and spiritually misled when we hear, and even worse, repeat, that when someone cries or shed tears, he or she is breaking down or had a breakdown, as if this form of emotion is a sign of weakness, often with the notion that tears are not the only, or at least the pinnacle, expression of emotion. This is a long-held notion, falsely presupposes both a limitation on what emotion is and a perversion of our tears. Tears, in earnest, are not weakness, they are the manifestation of the ultimate strength, because out of the many things that they signify, the most essential are intimacy, humanity, and rejuvenation. Capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E. Love is the husband. Forgiveness is the wife. Tears in their consummation. Without the consummation, the marriage is suspended in animation. Void, not voidable. Forgiveness heals and builds love. And love honors and protects forgiveness. And tears weave them into one. Crying is not breaking down. It is letting go all the burdens. The burden of having to be the perfect sister or brother, the perfect student or soldier, the perfect wife or husband, daughter or son, the burden of having to be the perfect neighbor, supervisor, coworker, business associate, the perfect professor, minister, attorney, friend, lover, mother, or father. Burden makes your shoulders sag, mostly undetected by the naked eye. Thusly, the more burden you let go, the lighter your shoulders become, the higher they lift up. When experience another person letting go of their burden, you will feel it before you see it. If you see it at all. Letting go allows you to lift up, not break down. Holding back tears is a self-psychic repression that creates an imbalance that saps your soul like a wrung dish rag after busting suds. People who are emotionally dead or numb promote the notion that tears are weak in an attempt to reverse reality by hiding their actual weakness, or making their projected non-emotions as a virtue, and the natural strength of tears as a milestone around one neck or a chink in your armor, when in truth, tears are the oil that both lubricates and shines your armor. The emotionally dead or numb are weak in their ability to be intimate, humane, and to rejuvenate from life's bullets, blades, and pepper sprays. These desperate, atrophying souls try in vain to project the strength of tears as weakness, for they lack the muscle from exercising, celebrating the blessings of their tear ducts. A West African proverb is apropos, for it says, "He who cannot dance says the drum is broke." We cannot let the numb or the emotionally dead make us into zombies or lead us into the grave of emotional imprisonment, nor keep us there either. Not crying constipates a portion of your emotions, which becomes toxic and compounds every negative or adverse barb that is hurled at you during life's journey. This constipation is behind much of the verbal abuse, violent outburst, disdain for the environment, sports fanaticism, intellectual dishonesty, financial greed, callous policy implementation, and failed relationships we witness daily. Not shedding tears imperceptibly detracts from your humanity like tiny bites from a spiritual piranha, bite after bite after bite. Tears cleanse your innards in a holistic way that nothing else can or will. It fully prepares you to do what you need or must do in the best possible way. Crying is not breaking down. It is lifting up. So go and cry, woman, as long and as often as you need. Get lifted.
So again, that was Tears Are Not Breaking Down, But Rather Lifting Up. So Go and Cry, Woman by Muti A. Ajemu Osagboro. And there's an author's note here that says, within the title, I could have just as easily changed the word woman to brother or cousin, dedicated to all the soldiers in America's struggle to live and do right, but feel shame or lessened by salty tracks.
As part of the Hoodstock Urban Music Festival taking place in Montreal North, the Villanueva family and the Coalition Against Police Brutality is holding a commemorative march on Sunday, August 9th at Parc Aimé Léonard at 5 p.m. in Montreal North. Together, we demand truth and justice for Freddy Villanueva. For more information, visit hoodstock.ca and lacrap.org. That's Sunday, August 9th at Parc Aimé Léonard in Montreal North, 5 p.m., a CKUT co-presentation.
Starved. In Metropolis, hooked on Necropolis, addict of Metropolis, do the worm on Necropolis, slam dance Cosmopolis, enlighten the populace.
Hungry darkness of living.
Metropolis.
Gate had a witness, and the years seem like friends.
Girlfriend.
Now a child has a dream, but it begins like it ends.
Shot in eternity. Methadone Kitty. Iron Serenity.
Ghetto Defender, it is heroin pity. Not tear gas, no baton jar, that's not to take in the city.
Strung out committee.
Walled out of the city, cloud down from uptown. Spray pest from the nest, run out to Barrio Town.
The guards are itchy.
Forced to watch at the feast. Men sweep up the night. Flipped pieces of coin.
Broken bottles.
Exchange for birthright.
Drafted in a jiffy.
Ghetto Defender, it is heroin pity.
Strung out committee.
Not tear gas, no baton jar. We'll stop you taking the city.
Not sitting pretty.
Ghetto Prince of Ghana Poets was bounced out of the room.
Not to ramble.
By the bodyguards of greed for disturbing the tomb.
1873.
His words like flamethrowers.
Paris Commune.
Burnt the ghettos in their chests. His face painted whiter than he was laid to rest.
Died in Marseille. Buried in Charlie.
It is heroin pity. Not to gas, no baton toe. Stop you taking the city.
Shut up in eternity.
It is heroin pity. Not to gas, no baton toe. Stop you taking the city.
Guatemala, Honduras, Poland, 100 years war. TV rerun invasion, death squad Salvador, Afghanistan meditation, old Chinese flu, kick junk, what else can a poor worker do?
Okay.